you would turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. I'm going to be talking about music today. And I love music. Music really, man, is an important part of my life. I've always loved music. In another lifetime, I used to actually lead the worship here on Sunday mornings. I'm glad I've turned that mantle over to Brother Caleb. Let me tell you, he does an incredible job with that each and every week. But I love music, and I listen to it a lot. I've written songs, some songs that we've been able to sing here in church, others that you don't want to hear, let me tell you. But I love music, and so I want you to know that from that perspective is where I'm teaching this lesson from. We're going to be looking at what does God have to say about music. Sometimes you hear people teach on music and, man, it's just so, like, dead. It's like, dude, have you ever listened to a song in the day in your life? Because before you preach this message, no, I love music. I get into music. I'm excited about music. However, I also know music has a dangerous side to it as well, and it's a very powerful thing. And we have to really take that into account when we think about our daily use of music. And I think that we don't talk about it enough, and it's a very influential part of our culture. If you would look with me at Colossians chapter 3, let's look at verse number 17. In verse 17 it says, "In whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." It says all, or everything you do, every part of your life needs to bring honor to the Lord Jesus. It needs to be in his name, giving thanks to God and the Father. Do you think that includes music? Yes or no? It includes our music. Obviously, Paul thinks that music was included in that word all when it says that everything should be to the glory of God, because that's actually the one thing that he specifically mentions in verse number 16, the preface to verse 17. Look what he says. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And that's the lead up to verse 17 about the famous verse that we all know. "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus." That's really interesting that God said, if you're going to be able to fulfill verse 17, you're going to have to look at your music. Music is a very, very important part of God's plan for our lives. But you know, Satan wants to use music as well. Satan sees the importance of music too. And God created music for our pleasure. But for more importantly, he created it for us to grow closer to him. And because of that, he cares about what music we listen to. Because here's the thing, is music has a powerful impact on three areas of our lives. Now, this is a lesson that I was able to teach a couple years ago to the teens at teen camp. And my dad gave me the opportunity to be able to share it with the whole congregation because he thought that it would be a blessing to everyone. I hope it will be. I know it was a blessing to me as I went through this. Because to be honest with you, I taught on music probably 2 or 3 years prior to that teen camp. And I taught it from a whole different perspective. And it was a little bit more like, you listen to this and don't listen to that. And make sure you listen to this song and not that song. And this is not going to be that kind of a message. If you expect me to start talking about beats and whatnot, forget about it, okay? But we are going to talk about, is your music honoring Christ or is it not? Am I honoring Christ in my music? Because the thing is that music has a powerful effect on three areas of our lives. And the first area is this. Number one, the head. I'll bring that up on the screen. You say, what are you talking about, our head? I'm talking about the mind. I'm talking about what you think about. I want us to look together again at verse number 16. I want us to notice what he says there. He says, "Let the word of Christ," and what's the next three words? "Dwell in you." Let the word of Christ dwell in you, he says, richly in all wisdom. So what's he saying? He's saying, I don't just want you getting in the Bible. That's good, but that's not far enough. I want the Bible getting in you. I want it being a part of the fabric of your life. I want it dwelling in you. He wants their minds, literally, this is the picture he puts in this verse. He wants their minds to be the dwelling place for God's word. He wants your mind to be the dwelling place for God's word. He wants your mind filled with the wisdom and the knowledge of the Bible. Why? Well, let's be honest. Oftentimes when we're faced with temptation in this life, it's not when we have a Bible in our hands, right? Usually, you're not faced with temptation, serious temptations at church. That's not when the real temptations happen. It's usually when you're out in the world, in the secular world, maybe whether it's at your job or at home, and you don't happen to have a Bible in your hand when that temptation comes. So it needs to be in you, not just you get in it once a day. Well, that's good, but if you don't remember anything and it doesn't actually stay in you, well, then it's not going to do you very much good when the temptation comes, when Satan tries to pull us down. So, but Paul tells us, hey, if you want the Word of God to dwell in you, if you want the Word of God to be in your mind and to enrich your life, music's going to have to play a really big role in that. If you want to be thinking about God's principles, you're going to need to use music for that. Look at what he says. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How? How is it going to dwell in me? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual what? How cool is that? How cool is that? He goes, if the Word of God is going to dwell in you, you're going to have to use music for that. It's going to be a key kind of weapon for you to be able to hide God's Word in your heart and hide his truths in your heart. Well, why would God say that? Why does he want us to use music in order to have our minds be the dwelling place for his Word? Well, it turns out, when you look into it and you study it out, music has amazing effects on the human brain. Sometimes they can be a little frustrating. I think we've all a time or two said to somebody else, oh man, I can't get that song out of my, right? Because you can't help it. It's like somebody sung that stupid song and you're like, ah, now I can't forget it. I didn't want that song in my head. And now it's in my, what do we always say? Head. It's in our brains and we can't get it out. And while we don't really think about it, when we say that, that's actually a very accurate thing to say. Music really does have an amazing effect on our minds, our brains. Music can be used to help you remember things. Teachers learned this a long time ago. That's why when you were in school and they were trying to teach you your ABCs, they put it to song. Now, if I was to go to you today and I was to say, hey, I'm going to test you. I want you to say your ABCs without singing it. You could do it. I would think everybody in here could tell me, I hope so at least. I don't know, let me think about that. I'm gonna have to sing the song. I hope you could do your ABCs without singing it now at this point. But your teachers use music to help you learn it so well and get it so down that today you just can't forget it, even if you wanted to. You can't forget the ABCs because they were drilled in your head each and every day, especially through song. Teachers learned it. Advertisers have taken advantage of this power of music, how it affects our heads and our brains, and how we can't help but remember things when they're put to song. You say, what do you mean? Well, I got some examples for you. We're going to have a lot of fun in this. This is going to be a different message, so hang tight, okay? But I got a little game we're going to play. I'm going to play some jingles for you. Y'all know what a jingle is, okay? It's a song that businesses use to try to get you to remember their product or their company. So I bet you that we're going to have about 100% on these. Everyone's going to be able to guess or know the company when I play the jingle, because that's what the way it works. Now, this first one, when I used it with the teens, I have to admit, I must have been a little bit behind the times. I guess this jingle isn't used as often anymore. So this one kind of flopped, this first one. But I'm guessing with this audience, it's going to go great. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to play it. And did he tell you when to pause it? Okay. Here we go. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. Oh, give yourselves a round of applause. Fantastic. Come on. Give yourselves a round of applause, everybody. Totally flopped with the teens, but I knew you guys would do it, okay? Here we go. We're gonna do this next one whenever you're ready, Pastor Rob. You guys are awesome. Check it out. You didn't even have to see the words. You just knew the words by the jingle. All right. This one's near and dear to my heart. Okay, go ahead. Oh, yeah. Does any guys know that one? What is it? Oh, Sports Center, yes. Whenever I hear that sound, it's like, oh, this is a good dime. Good moment. Okay, here's another one. What company is it? Say it out loud, everybody. State Farm, very good. And this one, I'm not sure if they do this one as much anymore, but I think many of you probably won't remember this one. McDonald's. Give her a round of applause down here, everyone. Very good, very good. So, power of music. Just played the jingle real quick and you boom, oh, McDonald's, oh, Sports Center, Kit Kat Bar. And effortlessly, you don't have to try. That company just stuck in your head. That's why they do that. And And music is powerful in that regard. To help you see that even more, I'm going to bring up a few verses on the screen. This is from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 3. And it's a lot of words up there. Okay, now I'm going to give you guys a second to read through it. Look at all these words. We have exactly, I want to say, 117 words. And give you about maybe 30 seconds to read through it. See if you can read through that verse 2 or 3 times and memorize it. Okay? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that, all right? I can guarantee you we probably wouldn't have very good of a showing on that if we were to do that. However, I got another big, actually twice as big of a passage from the book of Hezekiah I'm going to bring up on the screen, okay? Hezekiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 20 says this, "The snow glows white on the mountain tonight." Not a foot, no, I'm just kidding. It's not really a verse from the Bible, okay? This is actually the lyrics to a Disney song from the movie Frozen. Who's ever heard of the song Let It Go? Anybody heard that in here? Okay. Well, I did this illustration with the youth group, and like literally, I couldn't stop. I'm like, please stop. But no, they broke out into singing the song. And I'm like, okay, wait for the song to end. And everybody just went through the whole deal. And it was hilarious because I showed you how big Ezekiel chapter 3, those three verses were. But this is only actually a little bit of the verse, of the song. If you keep going, I think there's actually 2.5 slides. Yeah. So it's actually twice as many words, and that's if you don't repeat any words. But you know what? Most people didn't have to hear that song more than 2 or 3 times, and they had it memorized. We're not just talking about adults and teenagers. We're talking about 3-year-olds, people. I mean, look at YouTube. All these 3-year-olds singing this song, and you didn't have to work with them. All right, come on. It's time to memorize Let It Go today. Let's work together for 20 minutes, all right? Well, come on. We got to go to Let It Go, Awana. We got to work on this song together. You know, no. But with Bible verses, we got to do that. It's hard to memorize things that aren't put to song. But when you put it to song, it's like, oh man, it just sticks in your head. So it just makes sense that if you want to be able to remember things of the Lord and you want it to stick in your brain, you should be listening to things that honor Christ. Because whether you like it or not, it's going to stay in your head. It just is. It's just going to stay in your head. And God understood that. God understood that. That's the reason why if he wanted the children of Israel to remember things, he would oftentimes put it to song. Look what he says here in Deuteronomy 31, verse 19. He says, "Now therefore write ye this what? Song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." We got another verse from the book of Psalms. When he wanted them to remember his statutes, he'd put it to song. Psalm 19, verse 54 says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." But could you see why Satan would also want to use this to his advantage? You think so? Because music fills our heads with the thoughts of whatever the music is about. So if that's a good thought, that's what's going to be in your head. If it's a bad thought, it's still going to be stuck in your head, whether you like it or not. So the question is, what kind of thoughts is your music locking away in your head? That's the key question. What kind of thoughts is your music locking away in your head? And so, is it these kind of thoughts? What does Philippians 4:8 say? It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise," what's he say? "Think on these things." Is your music helping you think on these things? Is your music helping you lock away thoughts in your mind that are holy, that are just, that are virtuous, that are pure, or is it not helping in that regard? We've seen, number one, that music is gonna affect your head, gonna affect your mind. But secondly, it also affects, bring it up on the screen, it also affects your heart. It also affects your heart. If you would look with me back at our key passage, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. It says this, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your what? Hearts to the Lord." So get this. So music wasn't only meant to teach us about God. It was also meant to be a channel for us to pour out our love back to him. It's supposed to be a way for us to go, "God, teach me through music, but also allow me to use it as a channel to pour out my love to you." He wanted that. He actually designed music to be that way, to be a way for us to emotionally connect with God and show our love for him. Ephesians 5:19 says this, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody, not in your mouth, singing and making melody in your heart. Music should be a heart thing, to show your love for him, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So if God designed human beings, he designed us this way. He made it, it's in our DNA. If he designed us to be able to sing from the heart to him, is it any wonder that it's been proven scientifically that human beings relate to music in a very deep emotional way? We build emotional bonds with our music. We say things like, this music calms me down, right? Or this one soothes my nerves, right? When I talked to the teens about this topic, I said, I bet you many of you would rather go a week without TV than a week without being able to listen to your music. Let me see a poll of how many that you would say that. And almost every hand was raised. Almost every hand said, oh yeah, I'd much rather go without my TV than my music. I gotta have my music. You would say the same thing. All the adults are like, yeah, me too. I gotta have my music. It calms me down. It soothes me. I have an emotional connection with it. Many of us have our favorite songs. Or couples have their relationship songs, right? And songs can bring back memories. They can immediately bring us to tears. Or even hearing a song for the first time can lead many to cry. You just like, whoa, you just don't even know where it came from. Many songs are like that. I hear on the radio for the first time and I'll be like, are you serious? You're crying in the car right now. Like, what? Where did that come from? And if somebody was to say the words to me, I wouldn't cry. But then you put it to music and it just does something inside of you. It gets you to the core. It affects your heart. And that emotional connection with music has been given to us by God as human beings. And it goes back to almost the very first days. It's evident almost from birth. You can see this emotional connection with music. To prove it to you, I have video proof, okay, of my own son, all right? So Landon, my son, had a favorite song when he was a little baby. I'm talking 6-month-old little baby, okay? And he would cry and carry on and be so upset. And as soon as he'd hear that song, he just would get super happy. And in fact, he'd almost become like empowered. He'd give us the Superman like this. Like you go like, yes, I'm in my happy place. And you'll hear him crying at the beginning of the video. And then I'm trying on my phone to pull up the YouTube video of the song and the ad comes on. Oh, that really made him mad, okay? Because for a split second, he thought it was the song. Then he realized it wasn't. And it's like, ah! And then I skip the ad and then he's happy, all right? So take a look and you'll see what I mean.
People love what Landon does when his favorite song is played.
Don't know what happened there. Sorry, guys. Landon is upside down.
I want an investment plan focused on my needs, not on fees.
And then in a second, he begins singing. There he goes. He's singing now. Okay, you can stop it there. Sorry, that's my chance to show my son Landon to you guys there for a second. And we're going to stop it, I think. Rob, you can go ahead and stop it now. There we go. Everyone give Landon a round of applause. He did well. He did well for that performance. I told him, I said, son, I'm going to be preaching on music. I need you to do this for me. No, I'm just kidding. That was all. It was all natural, I promise. And so he just had this emotional connection. Just calmed him down in his heart level. And why did God design us this way? Well, so that when we hear songs about Christ and what he's done for us, he wants us to be moved, not just at the mental level, but at the heart level. Music is meant to stir us to love God, to stir us to praise him. That's what it's meant to do. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. He talks about all these different instruments. He says the trumpeters and the singers, he said, they were supposed to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When they lift up their trumpets, their cymbals, their instruments of music, it is to praise the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. So more than anything else, I looked up every single time the word music shows up in the Bible, and the most most often, I mean, far and above, the most often use of the word music is coupled with the purpose of it is to praise his name. Praise his name, praise his name, praise his name. You could look at it over and over and over and over again through scripture. I'll give you a few examples. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 30, it says, "Moreover, Hezekiah," there's a real reference to Hezekiah, not a joke this time, "Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David of Asaph the seer, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped." Now look at these verses on the screen. We got 2 Samuel 22:50. It says, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will," what's it say? "Sing praises unto thy name." Of another verse from Psalms, Psalm chapter 40, verse 30. "And he hath put a" what? "New song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Acts 16:25, New Testament. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and what'd they do? They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." So God designed this for the purpose of connecting with him. But Satan, can he also use that for evil? Yes or no? Absolutely. Satan wants to use the emotional attachment that we have with music to begin to slowly lead us to love things other than God. The more you listen to music that worships anything other than God, whether that be relationships, sex, drugs, friends, popularity, the more you will feel that you need more of that particular thing in your life. Music, without even realizing it, it changes our hearts, changes what we love the most and what's most important in our lives. So it not only affects our head, it also affects our hearts, but it also, finally, it affects our hands. You say, what do you mean affects our hands? I'm talking about what we do. I'm talking about what we do, our actions. So we go from, I'll show you in a second on the screen, we go from what I know to what I feel to now what I do. After affecting your mind and after affecting your heart, music finally affects this last area of your life. And it's cool, the progression. Let's look at it again now, all the verses together. Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And that all leads up to verse 17. "And whatsoever ye" what? "Whatsoever ye do." Now we're talking about action. So he started at the very beginning with saying, "I want the word of God to be in you, dwell in you, and I want it to be in your hearts." But then he said, "Now I want to talk about what you're doing. I want you to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So as you see on the screen, music affects our head in that it affects what we know. Bring it up on the screen if we can. And then it also affects our heart in that it affects what you feel. And then finally, it affects our hands in that it affects what you do. Now, I'm not the person or the first person to tell you that music influences behavior. Study after study after study has shown this. You know, I found an article from the New York Times, and it said, the title of the article, I think we have it actually a little snapshot of the article. It says, "Under the influence of ... music." And you think of under the influence of drugs or under the influence of this and that, but it says under the influence of music. And talking about teenagers specifically, maybe some of you would actually be in this category or maybe even above. Teenagers listen to an average of nearly 2.5 hours of music per day. 1 in 3 popular songs contain explicit references to drug or alcohol use, according to a new report. And this was in 2005, so I bet it's more than that now. That means kids are receiving about 35 references to substance abuse for every hour of music they listen to, the author is determined. This is not a Christian website, by the way. This is the New York Times. And then it says here on the next page, "Adolescent exposure to music is much more frequent, accounting for an average of 16 hours each week for music compared to about 6 hours each week for movie images, according to the study authors. Unlike visual media, music is a powerful social force that also taps into an individual's personal identity, their memories, and their mood. Music is well known to connect deeply with adolescents and to influence identity development, perhaps more than any other entertainment medium." From the New York Times, saying that it maybe has more of an effect on our identity development than any other entertainment medium. That is hard to believe. But it's not just me saying it. It's what they're saying, and the Bible says that's the way God intended music to affect us in what we think, what we feel, and then what we do. It affects our actions. Verse 17 is what it says. So you might say, well, this isn't a problem for me. I would never do things like that. I would never do what the songs I listen to talk about. Well, we'll talk about that in just a second. But before I do, I was going to show you another article to support this idea, but I actually had something better come in today. One of the members of our church, Laura Holland, I hope it's okay that I mentioned your name, Laura. She heard that I was preaching on music this morning. My dad mentioned it, and I didn't even know he had mentioned it this morning. She was so excited about it that she sent me a testimony via email this afternoon. Because she said, this is a topic that she said has dramatically affected my life, and I hope that my story can maybe can be a blessing to others and help others. And this was like, I swear, you would have thought that I gave her my message. I mean, the things that she mentions is unreal. It's amazing. And I did not tell her a thing about this message. She literally just sent this afternoon. She says, Dear Pastor Clint, your dad mentioned you'd be doing a message on music, and the Holy Spirit lit in my heart right after he said that. I wanted to share my story. Here it is. She said, I was very faithful from the time I was saved until about 5 years ago. I got a job where my coworkers listened to secular music for hours while we traveled. For a few months, I would just put my earbuds in, listen to sermons or praise music. One day, I forgot my headphones, so I listened to what they were listening to. The beats were infectious, and I love music. I always have. I started listening to only secular music again after that. My friend ran karaoke. I'd never done that before. I got hooked. It was a slippery slope. I started paying less and less attention to the Lord and much more attention to how I sounded singing if I was cool enough to hang out with my friends. My behavior slid downhill in a hurry. I allowed myself to be corrupted in ways that were never intended for me. This led to infidelity in my marriage with men and women, neglecting my family, drugs, alcohol, and becoming completely focused on this new life. This was all from that one trip that I forgot my headphones. I could feel it was wrong, but I just kept turning away from God. Even after the loss of my best friend, I continued to find solace in music not made for me. After I turned my karaoke business, she says in parentheses, I ended up owning it. When I turned it over to an associate, I turned the praise music back on. Though I really, really enjoy secular music, I know where it leads. I haven't looked back since November, and I don't plan to. My faith has been strengthened again. I've sought forgiveness for the massive transgressions that I've committed in my life, and I strive every day to live like a saved believer. And here's what she says. I promise I did not tell her to write this. She says, music can easily steer your heart and your mind. That is unbelievable. And I cannot stress enough how important it is for everyone to guard their ears in order to guard their heart. She put that in her testimony. It is vital that parents monitor and screen what their children hear. I'm battling with my own 12-year-old, she says, because she says, it's just music. No, it's not just music. She says, it's the message that you get from that music that helps guide your steps. And she says, praise music has saved me. Listening properly has turned me back to the correct path, convicted me, and built me up. I hope this helps in Christ, Laura. Give her a round of applause for being transparent. What a blessing. Thank you so much. That's powerful. That is awesome. I was so excited about that. And you know, some people might say, but you know what? I would never do the things that I hear about in the music. I'm just listening to it for the beat. I know the words stink, they're raunchy, but you know what? It's not about that. I'm not gonna listen to those things. I would never do those things. Maybe you're a superhuman and you're one of the people who aren't affected by the music in any way. Doubt it, but maybe. But let's just say for argument's sake that you are. You're a superhuman whose behavior isn't affected negatively in any way by the music that you listen to. That actually isn't the main question. The main question isn't, does your music negatively affect you? That's not actually the main question. The question isn't, is your music influencing you to sin? The big question is your music influencing you to live a life of righteousness? Is your music influencing you to obey God's word? Is your music influencing you to live a life of faith? Those are the key questions you have to ask yourself. Music can have that effect on your life. I, for my own self, I can tell you, there's been certain songs that I've heard that I have dwelled on. They have made me think. There's an old song from Casting Crowns about, it's called Stained Glass Masquerade. It's about living a hypocritical life. And it says, are we happy plastic people under tiny plastic steeples? We hide behind our weakness and our pain. But the invitation's open for every heart that has been broken. Maybe now we tear the curtain from our stained glass masquerade. And I heard that song for the first time and I thought, man, there's so many areas of my life that people on Sunday may think I'm great, but I know in my heart that I'm putting on a show. And I got right with the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to be that person in that song. And there's been song after song like that has influenced me to want to have a closer relationship with Christ. And that's the kind of influence you want your music to have. So listen, is there music, you say, well, is there neutral music? Is there music that's not good or bad? Well, music isn't moral in and of itself. Music is sounds, and God made it to be able to be used for good or bad. And there's certain songs that I would say have, they're neutral spiritually. You say, what are you talking about? Old McDonald's what I'm talking about, okay? Old McDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. I cannot find a spiritual influence, positive or negative, with that, okay? I can't find a spiritual influence with the ABCs either way. And a lot of the Christmas songs, you know, that are out there, they're silly. I can't really say it's pulled me away or closer to Christ. Humpty Dumpty, whatever, okay? yeah, so yeah, the answer is yes. There is music that would fit in that category of, no, it doesn't really have a positive or a negative spiritual impact on your life. But I would say this. I would say that many times there's more negative music in our life than maybe we are being honest about. And we tend to think that all music is neutral. I mean, it's all neutral. That's where I think is untrue. And I hope that after today, you never just tell yourself that lie that, oh, my music isn't affecting me in any way. No, I think it is affecting us. And if you do have music that's just neutral, it's just kind of in the middle there, not really pulling you away from Christ, not really pulling you closer to Christ, well, you really shouldn't make a steady diet out of that kind of music anyway. I mean, what about with our, you know, with our physical bodies if we did that? I'll bring up an example here. There are certain things in our that you put into your physical body that would be straight up negative and could kill you. Or, you know, let's bring up one. Blockade, okay? That's the stuff that we put down the drains here at church when things get stopped up. And there's a reason why there's skull and crossbones on there, because that'll put a hole in your stomach, all right? You don't want to drink that stuff. That stuff is deadly. So that's negative. Now, there's other things that aren't necessarily poisonous, not going to kill you when you drink them and put them down your esophagus, but they're also not really nutritious or healthy either. We might like them, but we got to be honest and say they're not healthy and they're not nutritious. Some of the things I really love a lot, bring it up on the screen, ice cream and chips. Oh my goodness. Well, now I wish I could say that was in the positive side for both of those things. I wish chips was like another one of the food groups. Okay. I love chips. They're near and dear to my heart. I mean, all kinds of chips, but especially those kettle cooked ones with the jalapeno. Oh my goodness. They're so good. I just could eat a whole bag in one sitting. I really could. But it's not helping me. It's not going to hurt me with a few bites of it either, but it's not really making me any healthier. Then you have positive food, right? It's going to really be nutritious for you, like a nice turkey dinner. Okay, look at the veggies on there, nice roll. That's fantastic. Got a good little breakfast there, okay, with some bacon and some eggs and some fruit. Healthy, it's nutritious. Now, here's the thing. Is we all know that we don't want to drink the blockade that's going to kill us, okay? But if we took out all of the positive food in our life, anything nutritious, and you only ate ice cream and chips every single day of your life, it would eventually become on the negative side. It would eventually become a negative food group for you because you're not getting anything good in your system. So the question is, am I making a steady diet off of things that are either negative or neutral? Or am I making a steady diet out of positive things and a little bit of neutral mixed in, and hopefully none of the negative, right? And that's what you have to ask about your music. Do I have a pretty good, steady, healthy diet of the things that are going to draw me closer to Christ? And if so, great. And if not, maybe there's some changes that need to happen. What am I talking about here? I'm talking about the words. I'm talking about, are the words glorifying and honoring Christ? You're not going to get me up here, you know, you can see people who have preached messages on music and it's all about that beat is ungodly and that beat isn't and that instrument's not and that instrument is. And you can go down that slippery slope and try to be God in somebody's life. That's not what I'm here to do during this message. You kind of have to have your own convictions on all those things. What I will say is, though, God is very clear. The words make an impact on your life. And it affects your head. It affects your heart. It affects your hands. So you say, oh, that sounds great. I mean, yeah, I agree. It all sounds really good. But I'm sorry. There's just certain artists, there's certain songs that I just can't take out of my life. There you are. You're proving my point about how powerful it is, right? If there's any music that we just could never let go of, no matter what we could see from Scripture to prove that it's not helping us spiritually, well, that shows you how powerful of a stronghold it can really have. And if we want to be all in for Jesus, if we want to honor him in every area, we got to also look at music. So is Christ being honored by your music? I hope so. If not, you know, maybe sometimes we have to make some changes when God convicts us of things. Maybe you delete some songs from your phone. Maybe you change the channel on the radio station. And you go, Lord, I want to start having a little bit of a healthier diet when it comes to my music. And I want my music to draw me closer to you, to think on you, to praise you. And Lord, please help me to do that. And I guarantee you, just like if you eat ice cream and you eat chips every day, you might have no desire and no appetite for any other kind of food. There's a good chance of that. Or if you eat fast food every day, you're not going to have a desire for any other kind of food. It's proven. But once you start and you give it a little bit of time, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, it's amazing what desires God will give you, what appetite you'll, how your appetite will change. Once you start, stop eating the fast food every single day and you go back to eating healthy food, you go and you take a bite and you're like, oh, wow, that's really gross, right? And in the same way, when you start getting a healthier diet of music in your life and you just try it, just give it a chance, find some good music. You say, I don't know where I can find any. Talk to somebody in the church. So plenty of people probably have some great options for you to start. Once you give it a chance and you start really listening to it, I guarantee you it'll uplift you spiritually and you're not going to want to go back. Amen?